You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
26 minutes before noon, we're also joined on the line by the CEO, the Nelson Mandela Foundation, Sello Atang. How's it, Sello?
Hey, I'm good, and you, Eusebius?
Very good.
It looks like you decided to tackle this on a very relevant day.
Well, it's uncanny. Racism is so ever-present, sadly, in our country, as you know as well as I do, Sello, that one doesn't have to engineer the relevance of speaking about it.
Yeah, but I think, again, it reminds us that it's not just the issue of racism itself, but that we always have to go back to this thing of speaking from privilege. That one is it has to be careful and aware of the power you wield. With that power, you could use it either to build or to destroy. And I think for as long as we're not aware of that, whether it be the projects that we have just initiated, such as the Anti-Black Racism Fellowship that I'll chat to you about just now, is that we globally, you have this white hegemony that needs to be dealt with. And with that white hegemony comes this privilege and power that needs to be put in check all the time.
Absolutely. And of course, we've got to deal with it on multiple fronts, Sello. Let's talk about some of the initiatives. You guys have, in a very good way, decided over the last couple of years to take the racism bull by the horns at the Nelson Mandela Foundation. Lots of partnership. I've been there, fortunate to be part of one or two round tables. And of course, one of the latest initiatives with Lead SA is the Twitter takeover and the Anti-Racism Week. Give us a bit more detail about that.
Yeah, so over the last 2 years, what we did was to initiate this Anti-Racism Week. And this year, we decided to focus on the theme, key theme is on becoming. That all of us must strive to become better people. Because it's only when we become better people that we can build a more tolerant society, a society that's conscious of itself, and what the challenges that it has had over the years. And I think it's important that with this notion of becoming, that all of us then go back and say, what does that becoming mean? And for us, for the week, we decided to have specific focal areas, and we're using words so that we then are aware of what you need to at least tackle on a daily basis. So when we launched on the Monday, we said, be aware and honest that racism exists. Because you can polish it, you can try to put some cover of political speak over it, you can put every other instrument you want, but we must be aware that it exists. And then on the Tuesday, just yesterday, we said, be frank about your involvement and contribution to it.
And you know what's interesting about the Twitter takeover with the Lead SA handle and the Anti-Racism Week is that, of course, technology and new media platforms, Sello, are new opportunities for either old bigotry to reveal itself more honestly or, I don't know, for new forms of bigotry to be developed. Which is it, do you think?
I think it's a combination of both. And until such time that we acknowledge that sometimes we are not frank enough. I have friends who would come to me and say, you know, I heard so-and-so use the K-word and I heard so-and-so do this. And then they tell me what they did. They say, I told them you never do that again in my presence. And you never ever, you walk through the door and I'm there, you never ever think that it's right to do that. And I think it's until such time that we do that, you see, this, we're going nowhere. Because racism doesn't just exist in us acting it out, but in also privately tolerating it. And it's only we privately tolerate it that we don't challenge it. And it's that we need to be doing.
Sello, you know, of course, I don't like the term, which I used to use myself, subtle racism. I think for those of us who are victims and survivors of racism, it's never subtle. But there are bloody forms of racism. that can leave a black eye, blood dripping. And then there are non-bloody forms of racism that can be slightly less visible to the naked eye, like the psychological scars of certain kinds of names being used against you and that kind of thing. Now, it's interesting, this Twitter storm around Helen Ziller of her own making. Now, you don't have to opine on her if you don't want to, but let's talk a little bit about racism that doesn't announce itself very nakedly and how we can spot that and how we can also deal with that and not just with the easy-to-spot versions. You know, someone will say, I'm not a racist, but if you look at the history of technology, it is very clear that colonialism at least gave us good roads, for example. And then people can almost pretend it as if one can reasonably disagree whether that kind of sentiment reveals an underlying racism and racist science, or whether it is just an intellectual discussion.
You know, you and I share that in common, that I also don't agree with this thing of subtle racism. For some, it is a lived experience every day. So you wake up in the morning and you are confronted with that every day. And I think until such time that we have this thing of putting ourselves in others' shoes, we will get somewhere. Look, seriously, that sentence alone just sickens some of us. That once you start saying, "I'm not xenophobic, but I'm not homophobic, but I'm not," as soon as you do that, you have crossed the line of declaring your colors right there, because your colors come out right as soon as you start justifying the statement. You're giving it a precursor so that you can justify it. And I think it's that justification that we should all declare as a nation and globally, that we have had enough of that. That we should consciously say, racism exists, I'm aware of it, I'll be frank whenever I see it, I'll be aware to challenge it whenever I see it happening, but be brave enough to at least even admit your own prejudices. To say that until such time that you also admit your own prejudices, you are not going to deal with them, because it's that thing of not being conscious of what you are doing on a daily basis to deal with racism.
Absolutely.
And I think until such time that we have that flow, we're going nowhere. From your tweets, that as soon as you start think, and I think we've stopped thinking, is that you then come out and bring out your own prejudices, then taint us as having not dealt enough with it. And of course, in South Africa, we are not unique. It's a global thing, like I said, that this global, particularly white hegemony needs to be dealt with. That one needs to be conscious of it, and you then say, what do we do about it?
Cello, two final questions. You know, the first time you and I had a proper chat and I came to the foundation, I have to confess, I was pleasantly surprised at how lit some of our discussions were. The position paper on racism that you guys have released, which I reread again the other day. Of course, I've seen it before. It is fantastic because there are so many Madibas, and people tend to choose their preferred Madiba depending on their own social positioning in society that inadvertently or deliberately they want to reinforce. So Madiba, the reconciler, is a favorite among certain groups. And then, of course, others love to resurrect the Madiba, the militant, for example, but he's irreducibly complex. Some people who only think of Madiba in Rainbow Nation myth-making terms may go, wow. You know, when you look at what Cello is doing at the Nelson Mandela Foundation, the language around racism, the sharp commentary coming out from you and from the institution, they may be surprised. Can you give us a sense of why the work that you are doing in partnership with so many platforms, including Lead Essay, so many other platforms as well in the last couple of years, why this is squarely Madiba?
I think Madiba once said himself that if there's one thing that disgusts him, it's racism. And I think he did also say that if there's one thing that he was willing to even die for, was to see the end of oppression of one by another. And I think the kind of oppression that we are now, the phase of oppression that we've now come into, and this is realization not only of the Nelson Mandela Foundation, but the Ahmed Kathrada too, the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation too. Hence, ANSA is at the heart of that, is that all of us are saying it cannot be enough to quote Madiba when it suits you. That actually, sometimes you need to sit in your corner and say, would Madiba have approved of this kind of conduct where I justify racism, blatant racism, sometimes not so blatant, but that I do nothing about it when it comes up. And that's why the two institutions, both the Nelson Mandela Foundation and the Kathrada Foundation, said, let's do something about it and challenge others to say, join us. Because it's not enough to say it's a minority. That minority is the loud minority, if you like. That's the one that every now and then comes out and makes these statements, whether it be on Twitter or Facebook. And that the reason we're tackling it is because it's purely Madiba. Madiba had no time for racism of any kind. And for all of us should then declare in his name, we will do everything possible. In Kathrada's name, we'll do everything possible to rid ourselves of racism.
Stunning. In 30 seconds left, how can people get involved? What are some of the latest initiatives?
Well, we'd like you to join us by using hashtag Take on Racism and go to www.arnsa, Anti-Racism Network South Africa, .co.za. And then we will give you more information of what we're doing going forward, because on the 21st of March, we're then closing the week in Sharpeville with the premiere of Gauteng.
Great
and again,
stuff.
We're saying all of us must do something about racism.
Cool. We need to find an excuse, not that we need one, for you and I to meet up again. I want to get involved and also just catch up. Hello, let's do that. But thanks for coming on today.
We'll do that.
Cheers,
so
my friend. Eh? Deeply appreciated. Karabo, Marius Mbuso, Samantha, Derek, and Zunaid. I'm going to take all of your calls after this.